Take your Bibles, if you will, and join me in the Old Testament today. We're going to spend some time in 2 Chronicles, beginning in chapter 28. About a year ago, I was asked by a family in our church, how do you come up with what you come up with it when you preach? And I thought a lot about that, because there are sometimes God just puts stuff in your heart and your life, and you just know it, and you go with it. Other times you wake up and you go, hey, you know what, I'd really like to kind of work through a book or preach a series on a topic or whatnot. Today's message is very vivid to me of how this came about. It started on the day that we were locked down. We were encouraged to stay safe at home and kind of just put everything on the back burner, and we realized that really the only things that you could do is basically run to the grocery store and maybe pick up pharmaceuticals just basically come home and stay. If you're an essential employee, which I think everybody who has a job or should be considered essential, you could go to that job or you could continue doing that job. But what I saw when this thing happened was something that I don't think I'd ever seen before or experienced in my life at 52 years of age, was it gave us an opportunity to reflect on that which is most important. No longer was having our kids in three sporting events on a single night important. Wasn't even allowed. No longer was it important or allowed to do things at school or to do just frivolous things like actually go out to eat. I mean, who knew? This last Thursday and Friday were the first 2 days that I've actually stepped foot in a restaurant. It was so weird. But I will say this, it felt so good too. I got to sleep somewhere other than in my own bed, as my dad and I were in a motel room together up in Casper, Wyoming, and that felt so weird, but it felt so good. We kind of have some of our freedoms back. But what I noticed during the lockdown was I noticed a whole set of neighbors that I didn't even know I had. People were walking their dogs I didn't even know they had. People were playing with their kids in the front yard, kind of like, and I hate to say this because I don't want to be this old, but kind of like the good old days. See, when I was a kid, we played in the street. We didn't avoid the street. We played right in the street. We didn't have babysitters. We didn't need them because we had street lights. When the street lights came on, you went home. World has changed. There are so many things that got stripped away from us, taken away from us. Concerts, events, sports. About 2 weeks into the lockdown, my dad called me. I was watching Fox News one night, and they had said, one of the doctors that they had on said this, make sure you check on your old people. Their words, not mine. And so they asked, well, how often should you check on your old people? And they said, we should probably call them a couple times a day. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to be the good son. So I started calling my parents 2 times a day just to check on them. Well, this time was a little different. My dad called on me to check on me. And I said, hey, what's going on? He goes, hey, I just want to check on you. I go, okay, what's up? I'm thinking, you know, something happened to mom, something happened to him. He's like, well, there's no sports to watch on TV. Just want to make sure you're doing well during the lockdown. I said, I'm doing fine. There's no issues in my life whatsoever. And I still haven't had a single ramification from no sports for 13 weeks. But you know what? I didn't miss it. I didn't miss the Masters. I didn't miss NASCAR. I didn't miss the start of baseball or the playoffs of basketball. There's been a lot of things I haven't missed. Now, when they come back, will I reevaluate what I want to do, what I want to watch, what I want to see? Yeah, absolutely. The reason why I didn't miss those things is because through this process, God has been stripping away things. And He's been enabling me to see what is so vitally important to keep. To simplify your life. To become perhaps a minimalist. Instead of having too much, just have the right stuff that you absolutely need. I learned that I need my wife. I learned that I love my family. I learned that friendship goes beyond being together. It's about laughing at one another. It's about having texting threads that go on for texts and texts and texts. In fact, Earl sometimes says this, "Dear goodness, people, all I did was take a shower after work and I missed 1,000 text messages." It's having fun and knowing what's important. It's knowing also who is important in your life. Because they can take away your trips to the Dairy Queen or to your favorite restaurant or your favorite ballpark. But what they can't take away is your God. And one of the things that has happened through this process, and I hope it has happened in your life as well, is as things became smaller and smaller, things that we really didn't need, and we found out that we could come out on the other side and be okay without them. Haircuts. Huh, I've been great without a haircut. Manicures, pedicures. You name it. We found out that we didn't all need them the way that we thought we needed them going in. But I hope that you found that what you did need was you needed God. And you needed Him to be high and lifted up, exalted in your life. I hope that instead of falling away from Him, you learn to cling to Him in ways that you never thought would be imagined. He was always there. I asked a friend in our church if they would bring a book over to me, because as I was putting these series of messages together, things I can choose during this time of pandemic, this time of crisis, this time of staying safe at home, this time of having the world kind of slow down a little bit, I wanted to kind of look through some things and get some tasty morsels from people in Scripture and passages of Scripture that maybe I would not even think about or pass over. So I did what I did most every day. I was out on my patio and I would have my Bible open and working through this book, and all of a sudden I got this passage, got this person. And it just hit me, and this was about 7-8 weeks ago. And I knew, and I began to work on this and work on this. Well, lo and behold, in our study of Proverbs, we studied this man, King Hezekiah. And we learned about him. And it just reiterated in my life that this is a man that had it right. This is a man that can offer great perspective, not only for me today, but for everyone sitting here and all of you at home. Because the Bible gives us some pretty spectacular accolades about this man. Now keep in mind, he's a normal person, just like you are. What he did, you can do. What he was about, we can be about. And we can learn mightily from King Hezekiah. But before we do, we have to understand a little bit of his history. In chapter 28 of 2 Chronicles, we learn about Hezekiah's dad. Ahaz, that's his father, was 20 years old when he became king and reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. He was king of Judah. And he did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord, as his father David had done. For he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. Let me tell you a little bit about the kings of Israel. After Solomon, the kingdom divides. Was the nation of Israel? 10 tribes go to Israel. 2 tribes stay, the southern tribes, and they are Judah. In the course of Israel's history, the northern 10 tribes, there was 200 years there. There were 19 kings that were represented in that history of God's people. And not a single one of those men, of those kings, were good. Not a single one of those kings had their eyes fixed on the Lord. Not a single one of those kings did away with idols and debauchery and wickedness and all the other evil that would come with that. They had turned their back on God. We just sang a song. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. They turned their back on God. Here, in 2 Chronicles 28, we see that Ahaz walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. So he was a bad dude. He made molded images to the bells. He burned incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom and burned his children in the fire. That means he sacrificed his kids in the fire to false gods. According to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. And he sacrificed and he burned incense on the high places, on the hills, and under every green tree. He made no boast, he made no minimization of how he was a wicked king. If you could do, or if you think about what would it be like if to do wrong in the eyes of God, all you have to do is look to King Ahaz. If you go down in 2 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 19, there's a war. Israel comes up against them. And God turns them over. And because of Ahaz's sin, he loses a vast majority of his army. But verse 19, it gives us a snapshot again. For the Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz, king of Israel. For he had encouraged moral decline in Judah and had been continually unfaithful before the Lord. Wow, that is not a good testimony. Verse 22 says, now in this time of his distress, King Ahaz became increasingly unfaithful to the Lord. So it wasn't just this little, hey, I turned my back on God. But not only did he turn his back on God, but he began to go farther and farther and farther and farther away from God. This is that King Ahaz. I love that statement. This is that King Ahaz. For he sacrificed to the gods of Damascus, which had defeated him, saying, because the gods of the kings of Syria helped them, I will sacrifice to them that they may help me. But they were the ruin of him and all of Israel. So Ahaz gathered the articles of the house of God, cut it in pieces, the articles of the house of God, shut up the doors of the house of the Lord, and made for himself altars in every corner of Jerusalem. So it wasn't bad enough that Ahaz was evil, but he made sure that Judah became evil and practiced evil. And not only did they become evil and practice evil, but he also made it impossible for them to do good in the eyes of the Lord because he had shut up the temple of God. And in every single city of Judah, he made high places and burnt incenses to other gods and provoked to anger the Lord God of his fathers. Verse 26, now the rest of his acts, all of his ways from the first to the last. Indeed, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. So Ahaz rested with his fathers, and they buried him in the city in Jerusalem. But he was so bad, they did not bring him into the tombs of the kings of Israel. Then Hezekiah, his son, reigned in his place. To say that Ahaz is a bad dude is an understatement. He led his people down a dark, disturbing, and distressing time. But out of Ahaz, he has a son that he did not pass through the fire. And his son, Hezekiah, becomes the next king of Judah. Notice in verse 1. Of chapter 29. Hezekiah became king when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors to the house of the Lord, and he repaid them. What was the first thing he did? Was he brought the worship of a holy God back, front and center. I'm not going to be like my dad. I'm not going to turn my back on a holy God. In fact, in the first month of the first year of his reign, he went out of his way to make sure that he established that which was so important, a relationship with God. It continues on. Then he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them in the east square and said to them, "Hear me, Levites, now sanctify yourselves, sanctify the house of the Lord of your fathers, and carry out the rubbish from the holy place." Well, who put the rubbish in there? His father. "For our fathers have trespassed and done evil in the eyes of the Lord our God. They have forsaken him, have turned their faces away from the dwelling place of the Lord, and turned their backs on him. They have also shut up the doors of the vestibule, put out the lamps, and have not burned incense or offered burnt offerings in the holy place to the God of Israel. Therefore their wrath of the Lord fell upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he has given them up to trouble, to desolation." Excuse me, "and to jeering, as you see with your eyes. For indeed, because of this, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives in captivity. Now it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, do not neglect now, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him and to serve him, that you should minister to him and burn incense." And then it goes, in the next several chapters, goes through all the great things that Hezekiah did, and the Levites and the priests, and they do what he tells them, and he restores worship back in the temple, and he keeps the Passover in 2 Chronicles chapter 30. And then at the end, in 2 Chronicles 31, it goes through all the great reforms that Hezekiah did for God's people. He was serious about keeping the main thing the main thing. He didn't want any other distractions. He wanted his focus. He wanted his attention. He wanted his eyes to be firmly established on the God of Israel. I want you to go over with me, if you would please, to 2 Kings 18. It says it. It kind of captures it just in a synopsis for us. But 2 Kings 18 talks about Hezekiah reigns in Judah. And in verse 1 it says, "Now it came to pass in the third year of Hosea, the king of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. And he was 25 years when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done." That's a different testimony that his dad left. He continued to go down a dark path, King Ahaz. But Hezekiah shines as this bright star. In the New Testament, Jesus encourages to be the light of the world. And in the Old Testament, we look to Hezekiah, king of Judah, for 29 years, being a light to his people. The Bible says to us in verse 4 that he removed the high places and broke the sacred pillars, cut down the wooden images, and broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. For until those days, the children of Israel burned incense to it and called it Nehushtan. Verse 5, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah. And this is a telling statement. Nor who were before him. For he held fast to the Lord. He understood that which should have been of utmost importance in his life. And it was a relationship with a holy God. He did not depart from following him, but he kept his commandments, what the Lord had commanded Moses. The Lord was with him. He prospered wherever he went, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him. He subdued the Philistines as far as Gaza and his territory from the watchtower to the fortified city. And it goes on and on and on and tell us about this greatness of King Hezekiah. Folks, one of the things about living in our country is we have so many choices for us to do. Even today, now that we're getting some of our privileges back, there's so many things for us to do. We can go to the park. We can go fishing. We can go for drives. You can now sit down in your favorite restaurant. Alan, where are you taking Jane after church?
Dairy Queen.
John's taking his Jane to McDonald's. Casa Mariachi. Man, it's so good having people back because now I can actually talk to people. Problem is they, unlike their pictures, they sometimes speak back. We have choices. Now, we still can't go to movies. I got to tell you something. There ain't any good movies out there anyway. Hey, we can't go to sporting events. But golf's on, so I'm happy again. But folks, we'll have choices. And you'll have choices. Let's make the right choices. Let's understand what should be absolutely center in our life. I hope, my prayer is that our church gets that. My prayer for me, I've said this many times during the week on Facebook Live. I've said that many times here on Sundays. Folks, I want to get every ounce of what God wants me to get out of this coronavirus pandemic. Because I know that at the end of the day, I'm still going to need him in my life. I needed him on Thursday. When I was up fishing and we had to put my best bird dog down. The one that I trained from a pup. And I was out there. And I was floating with my dad and my brother and my nephew and one of my best friends. And I get the call. I just thank God for every opportunity that I got. And I know it's just a dog. I don't cry over goldfish, but I will bawl like a baby over dogs. I've only seen Old Yeller once. And I will never watch Marley and Me again. You know what God did? I said, Lord, just thank you for all the times I had with her. Lord, I know you're still in charge. I know you're still in control. Thank you for all the memories that I've had with that crazy mutt. I look up and there's an antelope swimming in the middle of the river in front of me. My guide says, I've guided here for 15 years and I've never seen that. They don't even like water. And I videotaped the whole thing and I was just sitting there going, Lord, you are the God of wonder, of majesty. Now, Lord, if you'd just give me about 25 more fish today, I'd be a happy camper. I caught two more the rest of the day. But I want you to see and I want you to learn from Hezekiah today. Hezekiah is a minimalist. and I'll show you this. We're going to go through these fast. What's the first thing that he did? The first thing that Hezekiah did when he became king is he broke the chains. The chains of what? The chains of his family. The chains of his father. There are many that I have dealt with through my years of ministry that they have grown up in very dysfunctional homes. That's a good word perhaps for it. Homes where just brokenness everywhere you look. Homes perhaps of great abuse or just relational breakdowns over and over and over and over. My buddy that guides me in Wyoming, he's one of those guys. He and his wife both came from shattered, broken homes. But they have established their home on the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to talk about somebody who's got it right? He's got two beautiful sons that he's learned how to teach them how to catch fish, but more than that, be men that love God with every ounce of their being. When I have people in my life that I have had an opportunity to help them, and I talk to them all the time, break the chain, break the chain, break the chain. In the first year, the first month, Hezekiah began to be a chain breaker. It didn't just end there. He wasn't going to be like his father. He removed all of the idols. All the idols that his father had established, he removed. There wasn't a single one left when Hezekiah was done. You know why? Because they were distractions from what the main thing should have been. He cleansed the temple. Remember when it said he moved all the stuff out of it? All the debris? Well, all that stuff was given in there and put in there by his father. His father had no place for God in his life. But Hezekiah wanted to make sure that God was central place and the only focus of his life as well. He had reestablished godly worship through the land. That's why he called the Levites to action. He says, here, guys, and it gives you a list in 2 Chronicles. Here, guys, this is what you need to do. This is what God wants you to do. You've got to lead us in this. So Hezekiah, he reestablishes all of that. And the people of God begin to focus on God again. Oh, that this one nation under God would learn to focus solely on God again. Amen? He destroyed even the bronze serpent. Even something that originally was good, that God had established in the wilderness when his people were wandering around, and he sent serpents. And they bit the people, and if all they had to do was look at the serpent and they would live. Not because, by the way, the serpent had any power. God had all the power. And if they looked and they lived, they would live. And if they didn't look, they would perish. And so even this thing that was good to the nation of Israel was used as an object, an idol, to distract from God in the worship of a holy God. Do you know that we even have that in churches today at times? Things that were good. But people in churches have a tendency to just go through the motions without it ever impacting their heart. Folks, we need to realize we can't do that anymore. We need to realize that there is something far greater for us to worship, a relationship with a holy God, the God of the antelope, the God of the bird dog, the God of the rainbow trout that we caught, the God of the mountains, the God of the wind, the God of the snow, the God of the rain, the God that enables us to breathe each and every day that we're alive. Hezekiah meant business. I hope you mean business. He led by example. I want to lead by example. That was one of the first things that I asked the Lord. Lord, I have never been through a pandemic. And neither have you to this perspective and this proportion. We didn't know what safe at home meant. Social distancing meant. I've probably got 15 masks, different masks at home. And many of you probably do the same. Some of you are hoarding my toilet paper, I can promise you that. We didn't know any of this. But we didn't know what would really matter either. You know what they didn't take away? They didn't take away our Bibles. They didn't tell us we couldn't stop studying God's Word. They didn't take away our ability to still proclaim God's Word. See, Hezekiah reestablishes all of this, and Hezekiah led by example. You see, in the days of Ahaz, Judah had many distractions. There were so many idols. Remember that one passage? Even under every evergreen tree? That goes back to what they did with the Baals and some of their practices. It was a fertility rite. He put idols on every corner in Jerusalem. Think about that for a moment. Everywhere you looked in Jerusalem, it was a reminder that God wasn't real. That God was not Judah's God. And all these other gods were. Oh, is he wrong? Because what Hezekiah does is he comes in and he sets God as the focus. And folks, in your life and in my life, we have to focus on God. In times of distraction, in times of distress, in times of discouragement, in times of national upheaval, in times of global pandemic, we need to focus on our God, and we need to put our eyes on Him and not turn to the right or to the left. The series that we've been talking about, things that we can choose. Hezekiah chose to remove the distractions of his life. Anything that kept his eyes off of God were a distraction. Anything that keeps my eyes off of God can be a distraction. It can be our schedules. It can be our calendars. It could be what we fill our minds with, what we watch, what we read, what we hear. Oh, I'm so sick and tired of social media. Because more people are distracted with that than any other thing known to man. It is just horrific what is going on. You know what? I think I could say this, 99.9% of it doesn't honor God. We need to remove the distractions from our life. We need to practice what it means to be a minimalist. It means being or offering no more than what is required or essential. May we find out, may we test ourselves, may we look and examine ourselves today and find out that what is absolutely required is a walk in relationship with a holy God. And what is more essential is that I will not cloud or hinder that walk like Ahaz did for his people. May I be a Hezekiah, where the main thing is the main thing. Now, I want to be very careful today. I'm not saying it's wrong to go out to eat. Okay, we've already established they're going to Dairy Queen, they're going to McDonald's. It's not wrong to go play sports. It's not wrong to have hobbies and crafts. It's not wrong to want to travel. It's not wrong to read books. That's not what we're saying here, folks. But what we are asking and what we are encouraging you is to have the right perspective. I think if we were all open and honest enough, there would be moments that we would say, you know what, I am just too crazy busy right now. And usually what I find is when I get too crazy busy, the first person, the first relationship that goes by the wayside is the relationship with the Lord. That we would learn to remove those things. That we would learn to take those things down. that we would not get distracted. Even good things, like the bronze serpent. But the nation of Israel began to worship the bronze serpent instead of the God who healed them. So the questions today are this. What chains do I need to break? What are the things that hold me down? What are the things of my past that are keeping me from the present that God desires me to have? Hezekiah, in the first year, the first month, broke the chain. What are those things that you need to do in that area? Here's another question. What are the things in my life that need to be removed? One of the things that this whole executive orders and governor orders and all of that, we didn't necessarily have a chance to pick and choose what got removed. They were removed for us. But in the quietness of your heart and your life right now, what are things that are coming between you in a relationship with God? And I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about a healthy relationship with God where you can walk with Him each and every day, where it is it's a personal relationship, an intimate relationship. How distracted have you become? And I would say this, that every single one of us, if we allow God to work in our heart right now, if we allowed the Holy Spirit to just reveal those things, we would all have something different there. What are the disciplines that I need to reestablish? See, not only did He tear things down and remove things, but He reestablished other things. What about my quiet time with God? What about my prayer with God? What about my service to the Lord? My sacrifice to the things of God? It's not just about removing stuff. It's about reestablishing things as well. My friends, I tell you this, that the answer for each of us will be different. I don't know what God will reveal to you today. But God will. I know this, that if you're serious about this, if you say, Lord, you know what, I realize that I have too much junk. One of the things, I don't know if some of you did this, but about 3 or 4 weeks into this thing, all of a sudden, I saw garbage bags in our house stacking up. Okay, and they weren't full of leaves. My wife and my daughter went through every room in our house and just kind of spring cleaned and took all the stuff we didn't need. Do you know how many trips we took to the Salvation Army? One day when I finally let my wife out, I think it was her first day out of the house after like 5-6 weeks, she didn't get out of the car, but I had to unload. It took about 10 minutes to get all the bags out of the back of the van. That's how much crap we had. But it was, again, a tool that God used in my life to say, Tom, what are the things you really don't need? And what is the one thing you really do need? And folks, God will reveal this to you if you are absolutely serious about your walk and your relationship with the Lord, just like Hezekiah. He will help you, and He will reveal to you those things that you don't need, those distractions, so that you no longer have a problem focusing on the one thing you do need. Learn to be a minimalist. We all could choose that. There's just certain things that we would be different in, of what we removed and what we reestablished. You know, one of the greatest testimonies that you could ever hear? It's here's Hezekiah. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Oh, that that would be our prayer today as individuals. Lord, today, help me do what's right in your eyes. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and for this time you've given us. Thank you for the privilege it is to open your word and to teach it and to preach it and to proclaim it, but also, Lord, to be so deeply impacted by it. Lord, I thank you of how you've revealed certain things in my life. Things that needed removed, things that needed to be reestablished. Father, thank you for a man like Hezekiah. Lord, he wasn't perfect in everything he did. No person that we will study in the Bible except for Jesus Christ himself will be that. But Lord, he speaks volumes to us today. He broke the chains, he removed what needed to be removed, and he reestablished to your honor and your glory that which needed to be reestablished. Father, may we do the same thing boldly. In Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.